When did you hear about Jack Butler when he got into the Hall of Fame?
When did I hear about it?
Yep.
Well, I immediately, you know, really, I knew he was up for it, you know. And last year he also, you know, he didn't get voted into it last year, but he did this year, and he was certainly deserving of the award, and I was just tremendous and very happy for him, really.
Well, that's great. So are you going to visit down to Canton?
Yes, I am. I'm going to go down, yeah.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. So, Coach, tell us a little bit about what a day in the life of a Bonaventure football player was like.
Football at Bonaventure was a huge event. It really was, you know. And again, you was dominant. It was a boys' school, you know, and they were dominant. And I think as a result, almost everybody was interested in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with the city of Olean; they were interested. And football at that time too was really a well-played game, because quite a few of the players had been in the service because of the war. You know, the war interrupted their collegiate career.
Right.
So, you know, kids like myself had to compete against some of these guys who had been, you know, in the service and saw action. So,
yeah.
Football was being played at a little higher level than what it normally was, and it was very interesting, and it was good football. And then a little school like Bonaventure, you know, it was the thing to do at that particular time. That was a major sport at that particular time.
Definitely.
It was exciting, very much so.
Excellent. Now, you spoke about the war. Now, that's kind of what interrupted your playing career with the Steelers, am I correct?
Yeah, I was called to go into the Army, yes.
So what branch did you serve?
I was drafted by the Army.
Drafted by the Army.
Service, yes.
Very interesting. Where did you end up going?
I ended up going at Camp Pickett. I did my MOS, and I spent the rest of my Army career at Fort Lee, Virginia.
Very nice. So where did you live on campus at St. Bonnie's?
I lived in, the first year I lived in two, and let me see, what we used to call them, the barracks, the second barracks, and then the third year I stayed with both, and number one barracks. Then I went to the University of Detroit for a year and came back, and I lived in Devereaux.
Very nice, very nice. Any good roommate stories you have for us?
No, Bernie Popson, our fullback, was my roommate the first 2 years.
Excellent.
A real good person and a real good guy.
Good, good. So could you tell us a little bit about what the recruitment process was like way back when?
Well, I remember, you know, the first time I saw St. Bonaventure was when there was a dentist that lived in a town right next to Franklin, Pennsylvania, Dr. McAndrews, and he was a St. Bonaventure graduate, and he brought me up for the William & Mary game.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, again, one of the big victories in St. Bonaventure history, where they beat William & Mary 7-0.
Yeah, I remember.
Probably made, you know, maybe about three other trips to St. Bonaventure, but that was the only ball game that I saw.
Good, good. Speaking of big victories, you guys had a very big victory over Johnny Unitas in his first start when he played quarterback at Louisville, and actually was one of your training camp partners with the Steelers, and I think you got picked over him, right?
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Steelers and the coaches, they made a big mistake. There's no question about that. You know, so that shows you coaches can make mistakes also. But we were competing, yes, and I had just gotten out of the Army there in 1955, and Johnny was drafted then.
Now, was it pretty special holding training camp at Bonnie's campus?
Yes, that's right, too. Correct, that's right. Because Father Silas Rooney was the athletic director at Bonnie's at that time.
Yeah. Now, there's been a little bit of controversy I've heard with the Louisville victory. Could you care to elaborate with that game?
What you're saying is exactly true. I never noticed it or heard it or even mentioned it. Well, I was at the St. Bonaventure there or immediately after the game.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about it. We didn't know anything about it. But then later on, I found out that I forget who now exactly was the individual who was keeping time on the clock. So I don't know. But like I said, never heard anything about it until after I got out of school.
Now, you mentioned last time we spoke about how you and Syracuse used to scrimmage each other quite a bit, and the film that I sent down to you had a Pittsburgh University scrimmage on that tape as well. Did you guys scrimmage a lot more than teams do nowadays, obviously? And now, tell us a little bit more about the scrimmages that you had here at Syracuse.
No, I don't think it was any more than anybody. Although I'm not so sure that everybody did scrimmage, you know. But for the first year there, going into my sophomore year, we had two scrimmages with. We had two scrimmages with them.
Mm-hmm.
One at St. Bonnie's and one at Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following year, I had one against Pittsburgh.
Very
and it was, you know, it was very good for us. I think the first year, I think we defeated Syracuse. We defeated Syracuse, so that was an uplift for us. You know, it certainly gave us a great deal of confidence.
Definitely.
And I think the unusual part about it was the fact that Syracuse, I guess one of the reasons they scrimmaged us because they wanted to schedule us during the season. But instead of playing us during the season after they were defeated, they selected John Carroll, and John Carroll defeated them during the season.
That's interesting. You mentioned John Carroll. You guys played against John Carroll at Fornes Stadium, and I think Bonnie's pulled that out 7-0. Am I correct with that?
Oh, no, it was a little more of a, it was a sort of a high school.
When
I
say
it
was.
Scoring game, maybe 26 to 19 or 24 to 17, someone, one of those scores, you know. That was the first game I started for St. Bonaventure. It was my sophomore year, and eligible as a freshman, and it was my first game. And they had Don Shula and Carl Tassif playing for them.
We
were able to beat them in as good of a football game as there was at St. Bonaventure, really. Well-played game on both sides.
That's great. Now, could you tell us a little bit about what the road trip process was like back then?
We take a plane or take a bus trip from Olean to Buffalo, and always flew out of Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
And we would get there the day before the season. I think basically we always worked out at St. Bonaventure. I don't think we worked out at the stadium where we were playing. So we got there the day before, and I think we always left immediately after the game, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not so sure about that. We may have stayed over. I think we stayed over. If it was a night game, we would stay over. Other than that, we would come back after the game.
Good. Now, Coach, tell us a little bit how about Bonna influenced your football throughout your career with the NFL.
I think maybe I was competing against better ball players than what I realized while I was doing it. And I had some good players for me. You know, Jackie was naturally an outstanding receiver for me. We had a great runner and Jerry Hannifin, who I always felt was good enough to play in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was competing with players who were, you know, it wasn't everybody was an NFL player, but because of this, I mentioned, you know, we had a couple older guys playing, that the competition was a little keener throughout the season than what it normally would have been. And I think, again, there was a good fundamental background there with football, and because Huey DeVore recruited me at St. Bonaventure, and he had been the Notre Dame coach. So I think the fundamentals were there.
Now, Coach, tell us a little bit about how you as players found out that the school was going to essentially put the wrap on the football program.
Well, I think there was, you know, there had been little rumors, you know, often there may have even been little rumors the year before too, you know, but you didn't think much about it when you were going through the, you know, going through the process, or that they were, you know, you just didn't give it. You didn't give it much thought. Somehow you didn't think that it could happen, or it could happen to you.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure how that. And then again, after the season was over, I remember getting called. I forget what the heck his name is, the president at that time.
Mm-hmm. Was it Lawler?
Ollie and I, we were going to be the captains for the following year, and told us about it. And then by the same token, I think there was Jackie Butler, I think Stan Zadel, Mike Urbanotti, Frank Palmisano, Stan Luza, who were going to play the following year. So, in addition, I was going to play the following year, too.
Right.
And those guys told them that they had to graduate. They didn't, you know, we didn't have another year of eligibility to play.
Oh, I see.
It's the same. That's how we know at that time.
So tell us a little bit.
We played the following year without those 5-6 guys.
Yeah.
And they were all starters. They were all regulars. Well, you can imagine when we lost Jackie Butler, you know.
Yeah. That's a big hit. So tell us a little bit what it's like to be coached by Hugh DeVore and the coaching changes that you had when you were at Bonnie's.
Well, I really wasn't coached by Hugh DeVore. I was freshmen were ineligible that year.
Mm-hmm.
So I, to be honest with you, I can't think who did coach us as a freshman coach. But we didn't really have any direct contact with Coach DeVore at that particular time. But then Joe Bock came the following year, who was a Notre Dame lineman, you know,
right
at that time, and he was Coach DeVore was the was a football coach, you know. Was listen, you were going to run the football, you weren't going to throw it too much, you were a power team. Where Coach Bock loosened things up a little bit, he threw the ball a little bit more.
Well, I bet you enjoyed that too, huh?
Yeah, I think it was to my benefit, yes.
Now, speaking of that, throwing the ball a little bit, you were the perfecter of the no-huddle K-gun offense that made the Buffalo Bills so popular during the early 90s. Could you tell us where those roots really came from and how you kind of got that offense perfected?
You know, I remember when I was coaching with the Redskins, I would drive to work with Chuck Cherundolo, who was a center at Penn State, and again, he was played with the Steelers and coached the Steelers. And Abe Gibron was a former Giant. He was a former Chicago Bear player, and he was a line coach. And Bill McPeak was the head coach at that particular time. We were driving to work one day, and I remember one of the coaches said, I'm not sure whether it was Gibron or Cherundolo, said, you know, someday we'll see that they'll be calling all the plays from the line of scrimmage. And it sort of stayed in my mind, in the back of my mind all the time. Now, I'm talking about 1963, 64, in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I joined George Allen in 1966 with the Rams, our plays were called, for example, Red Right 26 Power Bob O. But we got to the point that we felt, as time went along, as the years went by, that you ran your basic offense so often. It's during preseason practice, and then the ball game, that pretty soon you could eliminate the power Bob O and just say 26.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of the beginning of the simplification that you could go no huddle. And the same thing happened with our passes. We would have to say Red Right 73 Double Sponge X Corner. Well, if we could just say 73, that would mean Double Sponge.
Yeah.
And as a result, if we wanted to add the X Corner to it, we would just say 73X.
That's fantastic.
And so that's over the years. It started with the George Ellman. You know that we numbered a lot of our plays, runs and passes. That as time went by, we simplified, took out the words in the play, and just called it by number if we could, and if we had to add a change to the play, we would just say like 73X or 73Z, and everybody knew it was another play.
Well, that's very cool, and that's what a great, exciting offense that was, and to hear that it had roots deep with George Allen and in the '60s, that's even more impressive to hear that. So, well, wrapping up here, Coach, do you have any predictions for the 2012 NFL season?
No, I really don't. I just you know, so many things seem to be happening.
Yeah,
I think. No, I to be honest with you, I haven't given much thought either, you know, really, who are the winners are going to be. But as I say, with that situation in New Orleans, the situation and the Colts, you know, and the situation with the Jets, I really couldn't tell you. It's going to be interesting.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Well, Coach, thanks for the time. I really do appreciate it. And the interview should be up sometime soon on the website.
Thank you very much.
Yep, take care.